I remember when we were when we first got married, we lived in a house. Just talk about the goodness of God. And you could look through the floor of the living room, and you could see the basement. Whenever we lived in a house, the pipes would always bust. And she'd call me and say, "Honey, the pipes are busted." I said, "When I get home, I'll fix them." And every day for 4 months, I'd go down there and have to fix it, walk through water. And just to think about, everybody's got a testimony. Everybody in this house knows where you've been. But I want us to go dive deep. I want you, if you will, to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Now, last night, we talked about what holiness truthfully looks like. And we discussed, number one, we must make a commitment to God's standards. Now, remember I shared with you last night, if you didn't write it down, a part-time Christian is no threat to a full-time devil. And you need, and then you think about this. I'm really into studying the numbers of the Bible. I don't know if you are, but I am. I love studying the numbers of the Bible. So as you're turning to Hebrews chapter number 12, I want to share some things with you, a little nuggets, if you will, about the book of Hebrews and about holy and holiness. I don't know if you know it or not, but in the King James Version Bible, the word holy is mentioned 611 times. Holiness in the King James is mentioned 43 times. That is a total of 654 times it is mentioned. I don't know about y'all, but if something's mentioned 654 times, it must be pretty important in the Word of God. So think about this. The number 611 in the Bible symbolizes this in Hebrew, one of the Hebrew translations, that you must make a change in your life. To be holy, you have to make a change in your life. Come on now, think about what I'm saying. And then the number 43 in the Bible symbolizes a flow of living water. Holiness is a flow of living water. If you walk in holiness, church, you're always, everything that comes out of your mouth is holy. Everything that comes out of your mouth is pure. Now, I'm diving somewhere there. Everything, you might say, "Pastor, I'm having a bad day." Why do you let everybody know it? Anytime you're going through something in your life, and you might be going through the worst trial of your life, always say this. Everybody, when they talk to me at work or at church, "How's everything going?" "It's all good, baby. God's in control. It's all good." Not, "Well, you know, man, I got this going on in my life." It's like, "Hey, man, it's all good." How many of you know there are people in your life that you don't even want to talk to because they don't have nothing positive to say? Amen. Think about it. If you hang around negative people, you'll never live a positive life. So let's talk about Hebrews for just a second. The book of Hebrews portrays Jesus as our intercessor. The key word in the book of Hebrews is better. And better is mentioned 13 times. The book of Hebrews has been called the fifth gospel. Oh, come on, there's only four. Wait a second. And first off, number five symbolizes God's grace. So think about this. The number five in the Bible, it's God's creation. How many fingers do you have on each hand? Five. You got five senses. Think about that. Make sure I didn't miss nothing. You have five toes on each foot. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John describes Jesus' ministry on earth. The book of Hebrews describes his ministry in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Come on, church. Did the Bible not say that he sat at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I? In other words, he goes to the Father in our behalf. So I'm trying to challenge you. Maybe you're not praying right. I think you might have mentioned this about prayer. But when you pray, you should say, "Father, I come to you in Jesus' name." Because if you want to talk to the Father, you have to go through the Son. Now catch this. Hebrews 12 and 2 says it this way. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 2:9 says this, "He is set before us, crowned in glory and honor in the heavens." The book of Hebrews proves that we can never understand the Old Testament. How many of you, I shared this with you last night. People tell us all the time, do away with the Old Testament. Well, without the Old Testament, we can't understand the New Testament. And without the New Testament, we can't understand the Old Testament. So you have to have it all working together. The book of Hebrews is the 58th book in the Bible and the 18th book in the New Testament. 58 stands for God's grace. Come on, think about that. I've already these numbers. 18 symbolizes life. So if you look at the book of Hebrews gives us grace and it gives us life. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm going to be reading tonight verses number 12 through 17. The Bible says this, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people." Now wait a second. He didn't say pursue peace with people that you like, did he? He said pursue peace with, say it with me, all people. Because how many of you know, I think I may share it last night, God's not the author of confusion, but the God of peace. So it says this. Let me get back a lot. And without, okay, pursue peace with all people and holiness. Without which is holiness, no one will what, church? See the Lord. So we have to walk in holiness. I think so many times we in the church, and I shared it with you last night, I think so many times we think God's grace is sufficient for us so we can go out and do the things of the world and expect to see heaven. Guys, if the people in the world don't see a difference in you, then maybe you don't have a difference in you. So in other words, people should see you. I mean, it's just like people that I'm around, and I'm just giving God the glory. I won't sit around and listen to a dirty joke. I won't sit around and listen to somebody gossip about somebody. Why? Because I want to walk in holiness. I want God, when He sees me, to see Him. So catch this. Let's dive deeper. He says right here, "Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God." Now this is what He tells you to get rid of. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up can cause trouble." Ain't that the truth, church? "And by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau." Esau, who for one morsel of bread of food sold his birthright. "For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Now, the second thing I want to share with you tonight about what does holiness look like? And this is a big one. We must, number two, we must manage our minds. We must manage our minds. Listen to this. How many of you in this house have ever been guilty of worrying? You can just raise your hand. I've been there. I think everybody in the house has. Did you know a statistic said that 98% of the things we worry about don't happen? Come on, think about it. Y'all didn't go to school. How many of you worried about a test? And you studied and you studied. And then when you get into school, or get into class, you passed that test and you worried for nothing that night, didn't you? We worry about things. Well, what if? My granny taught me, I may have shared it up here a couple weeks ago, if and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Well, what if this happens? But what if it don't? Come on. Think about it. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says this, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now catch what he said. Every thought into captivity. Now think about what I'm saying tonight. How many of you in your life have ever had thoughts just... How many of you have ever not been able to sleep because you had so many thoughts going through your mind? Were they beneficial? But Satan sure did play with your mind, didn't he? Well, I'm going to tell y'all something that might sound crazy to you, but pray my condition gets worse. Anytime I can't sleep, all I got to do is start studying the Word of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then when you start studying the Word of God, you go to sleep. You know why? Because Satan don't want you to endure, to take in the Word of God. Because if you take in the Word of God, you'll realize that he is defeated. I mean, you've heard that old saying before, I'm sure. When you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. That's very true. The enemy don't want, he wants to battle, have a battlefield in your mind. Remember, we talked about it last night. Romans 2:12-2 says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How many of us tonight, if we was honest with ourselves, would say that sometimes our imaginations are in need of being cast down? Amen. The imaginations. Think about what I'm saying. How many times have you ever allowed the enemy to play with your mind? I wish more people was here because I think they need to hear this. You let him play with your mind. How many of you have ever just had the enemy to convince you that things were so bad in your life that maybe it was just better if you was gone?
Yeah. Amen.
Anybody ever felt that way?
Yeah.
I have. The enemy has told me many times, you would be better off, your family would be better off. I have to admit, I'm worth more dead than alive to Heather and the kids because I've been taking care of my kids with a life insurance policy. But the thing, you must say, that's crazy. The Bible says a wise man lays up an inheritance for his children's children. I told Heather one time, I said, "Baby, you'd be rich if I was gone." She said, "No, I wouldn't have you." So I said, "Whoa, that's pretty good right there. I bet she'd rather me be here." But the thing is, how many times has the enemy ever played with your mind? You might be here single tonight. And you might be saying, "No person will want to be with me." No, everybody wants to be with a good person.
Yeah, amen.
Think about what I'm saying. Or you know, if the church knew where I had been, well, praise God, don't be ashamed. I shared this before. Don't be ashamed of where you've been. Look at where you're at tonight.
Amen.
Glory to God. When people says, "Well, you know what? I can't be used in the church." That is such a lie straight from the pits of hell. Everybody in this church can be used here at this church. Everybody. Not just one. Not just two. But everybody in this church has a specific place in this church. Come on, church. Glory to God. Everybody's got something they can do in this church.
Amen.
We won't even go to people I was talking to last night, and they told me they had gifts inside them.
Yeah,
be careful when you sit down with me. I'm always to find out everything good about you.
Amen.
You can play what? You can do what? Sign them up.
That's right.
Amen. Glory to God. I tell people at our church all the time, don't tell me God's got a gift inside you. I will pull it out and make you use it.
Amen.
It's not supposed to be just the pastor and the elder and the deacons.
That's right.
That does everything
That's
in the church.
Right.
It takes us all.
That's right.
Glory to God, it takes us all. I mean, you might have to for a little while vacuum the floor and make sure everything's cut on in the church.
That's the one thing I don't have to.
That's the one thing you don't have to. But I used to have to vacuum the floor, sweep the floor, mop the floor. I used to have to be the van at church when my vehicle, unload people in a four-door car and go back and pick some more up. But the thing is simply this, God told me, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Because he will bring people into the church to equip the church to do that thing that God has called them to do. But I'm going to tell you what, I feel this in my spirit. I heard the Holy Spirit say this. You need to get rid of this mindset. We're always going to be small.
Yeah, amen.
As a man thinketh, so is he. You can't have a small mindset. What if Noah would have said, "I'm just going to build a canoe"? What if, think about it, what if he would have? What if Sam Walton, y'all's favorite person, what if Sam Walton would have said, "I'm just going to build a little store in Bentonville, Arkansas"? Y'all go crazy. But what if he would have thought small? See, we got to get rid of that mindset. You might say, "Well, our community is small." Okay, I don't know about y'all, but a little strike of a match can consume a whole forest.
Yes, amen.
Because it has to start small. Get rid of that mindset that we are never going to be big. Guys, can I tell you something? I'll tell you something I feel in the spirit. I'm going to say it. And I know it's going to be in recording, so good. I'm glad it is. As the Bible says, the fowls of the air carry it.
Yes,
so we might as well
amen.
Let them. I believe this church is just in the starting stage.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I keep saying this, Elder.
Thank you, Lord.
And I know I say it all the time, but there is such a big field back there.
Yeah, amen.
That means you've got room to grow. Come on. And the size of your parking lot is the size of your vision. Think about it. If we build small, we think small. Oh, come on now, church. I told you to cast down every evil imagination. We know if our church, and I'm not saying this is a pyramid and this is not my place, but if the church gets big, I won't be as important as I am now. What makes you think you important?
That's right. Amen.
Everybody's important.
Yes.
That person that's coming, brother, in the next 6 months is important.
Yes, amen.
Everybody that passes this church is important because Jesus died for every one of them. Hallelujah. Think of it. You got to cast down people. You know, one of my favorite quotes is this. Dream big, my soul, dream big, because God thinks His thoughts through you. And the thing I'm going to say to this church is this. Yeah, it's great that other churches have a food pantry. But you can too. There's a lot. There's people hungry everywhere.
Amen.
If we all come together and if we all work together, imagine what the church, not a church, can do. It's not, I love y'all. And I say, it's not about City of Refuge. It's not about Newland Christian. It's not about Rock United. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's about salvation. Come on, y'all. Don't die on me now. We're going somewhere. Casting down. Manage your minds. Think about it. I mean, let's be real in the grill. I love Jesus with all my heart. But it's easy for my imagination to run wild and get away from me. I mean, everybody in here is saved, I'm saying. But you know as well as I do, there's some times, like when somebody cuts you off, that you don't want to say, oh, how I love Jesus. There's somebody in that 12 items or less line that's got 36 products. And you're sitting there going, it says 12 items or less. Heather will tell y'all, I'm big on rules. I won't go through a 12 items or less if I got 14 items. I mean, she's like, honey, they ain't going to know, but I'm going to know. I'm going to know that I didn't abide by the rules. Standards. Think about it. As a pastor, what if I mean, this might sound stupid, but it's the way the world is today. What if I, as a pastor, let's say I was pastoring in Newland, went to Food Lion or Eagles or wherever, and the 12 items or less thing is right there, and I got 30 items, well, somebody's got two behind me, and that person says, and he calls himself a preacher. He got 30 items. I count them. I got two. Come on. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Hallelujah. Think about it. You sit there, but you got to manage your mind. If they're that desperate, let them go ahead of you. Because you know what? You can say, that 9 times out of 10, that cashier will say this, won't you? I'm sorry. It's all good. Think it to yourself, it ain't all good. That person just took 15 minutes of my life. Hallelujah. But we'll move on. So catch this. You can write this down if you want to. An idle mind is Satan's playground. When you are idle, feed your heart and mind with the Word. If you've got time, listen, think about this. If you've got idle time, get in the Word of God. Sorry about my kids. I don't know what's wrong with them tonight. But the thing is, if you've got time to do something, how many of you have ever flipped through the channels on television and didn't have nothing to watch, but you flipped through again? And you'll watch an infomercial just so you watch something on television. Think about this. You might say, Pastor, that's crazy. But you'll watch something you never watched before just to watch something. Newsflash, if you can't find nothing to watch, God made it that way. Get in the Word of God and study it. Amen. When Pastor Philip texted him and asked him where the directions was to get to the Life Care Center today, he said, I'll get the address for you. I was in my study. And I was studying. I got it real quick off of Google. And the thing was simply this. You might say, you was in your study? Yes. I have to make sure that this is the Word God wants you to have tonight. I have to make sure that when I leave this house tonight, that I've given you everything that God has given me to give you for tonight. So let's dive deeper. You can write this one down too. You can't walk in faith and worry at the same time. Come on. How many of you will honor? You don't have to raise your hand because, you know. But how many of you tonight will say you catch yourself worrying more than walking in faith? Walking in faith. The Bible tells us, did he not, men of God, did he not say that we need, when we ask, with nothing wavering? In other words, when we ask, he said, "Give us anything we ask in his name, believing that we would have it." But he also said, when you ask, don't be wavering. If you're asking God for something, but you know when you ask God for something that you're not going to receive it, why even ask? He said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. I mean, it's amazing for us to ask God for something that we know we can get if he don't answer. Oh, let me say that again. That sounded so good. It needs to be heard a second time. It's easy to ask something in faith, knowing that if God don't answer, you can still get it. Amen? But faith is, God, you know I can't, but I know you can. God, I know you can. Here's what we need to ask also, Pastor Philip. We need to ask God for his will, not ours. Jesus gave us the ideal thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was standing there, what did he do, church? He said, Father, let this cup pass. I'm preaching tonight. Father, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Come on. He said that. Sometimes we need to say, okay, God, if this is going to, am I helping you? This thing that I'm asking you for, God, if you want me to have it, give it to me. But if you don't, I know there's something greater on the other side. How many of you think, God, that God didn't answer your prayer for the person you thought you were supposed to live your life with? Oh, I heard a bunch of amens on that one. Hallelujah! God, please don't let me and him break up. You know he's my baby. He's my sugar. Lord, I can't live without him. I can't live if living is without you. And you're singing it with tears flowing down your face. I can't fight this feeling anymore. Oh, y'all ain't so saved. Y'all don't know those songs. Hallelujah. There's a tear in my beard and I'm crying for you, dear. I mean, think about it.
Right.
Think about when you was in, how many, no, don't raise your hands, glory to God, I think everybody's been guilty. But how many of you, when you prayed, you was that teenager, God, I don't want to live if me and him can't be together, God. And men as bad as you, don't let men think that they didn't do the same thing. They just go out, punch something, cut something, shoot something. Y'all would sit there with your curling iron singing in the mirror. See, there's somebody that told me y'all guilty of that too. I don't have to worry about that no more. I don't even have no hair. Hallelujah. But think about it. But how many of you think God didn't answer prayers that you prayed back then? Come on now, think about this. Here's another way. When we have to deal with stress, or bad news, or a horrific situation, our imagination can be miles ahead of us in the wrong direction before we even realize it. I've had people that I've dealt with drug addiction, alcoholism. I'm going to say this tonight under the authority of God's word. Most people that drink, do drugs, or do the other, adults, is trying to medicate the pain.
Yeah. Amen.
And the church is not helping.
Yeah, you're right.
If a person walks through that door, pastor, elder, deacon, and they're drunk, don't throw them out. If you don't want to deal with them, call me and I'll be up here in an hour and 45 minutes. Because if that person's walking through that door, they need help.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
You know how hard it is to walk through the doors of the church the first time?
Yeah, amen.
Come on. You remember the first time you walked through the door of this church? You remember the first time you walked through the door of your home church? And you were like, man, I just got to find the furthest pew back to the door. And the thing is simply this. When they walk through that door, if I don't care, drunk, busted, disgusted, can I tell you something? Your greatest workers in your church will be the broken people in your church.
Amen.
Broken. You got to manage your mind. See, the problem is in our churches, we want them clean before they come in. I'm talking about churches. But how many of you know before you clean a fish, you got to catch fish? Come on. And I'll say, oh, I felt that in my spirit. What kind of bait is Newland Christian Church using to catch fish? You don't need to be his voice on the radio. Amen, Pastor. Tell the truth. You preach it?
Yes, right.
Not everybody likes his voice.
They get to hear it an awful lot.
But think about it. Think about it.
You're right. Go ahead.
He shouldn't be the only bait you use.
That's right.
You should be the bait.
That's right. Amen.
Walk into the places and say, you know what? Now this is managing your mind.
That's right.
Think big. Think big. Because God is a big God.
That's right.
And He said that we are His children.
That's right.
So if we're His children, He's our Father. Think big. I'm trying to help you here. I'll be your biggest cheerleader. Because I believe God has got something going on in this church that is so... Y'all can't even see it. But you can start to feel it.
Amen.
You can feel a shift in the atmosphere. You can, especially in the church. When I was talking to Sister Evelyn, if I'm ever going to battle, I want her standing on the front lines of me, glory to God.
Amen.
I mean, when I went in there, she had a smile on her face, never said nothing negative. And then I found out, Elder Joe, that she's a patriarch of this church.
Amen.
Man, that's good foundation right there. If the Lord builds the house,
yes,
the labor is not in vain.
That's right.
And she was sitting there and said, I've heard a lot about you. I'm like, now that could be a double-edged sword. She said, I've heard a lot about you. And boy, she wants to be here by Wednesday. I'll tell you that.
Yes, she does.
Man, I'll tell you, if I went on, I wouldn't have got in trouble. We could have got through the security system. I'd have brought her tonight. If he has the code, we might just make it happen one night. Then y'all come and get us out of jail that same night. Hallelujah. For kidnapping. I'll throw it on Philip and say, I was accomplice. Hallelujah. Think about it. Think about that.
I'll just use this recording.
Yeah, he just got me. So if it happens, come and get me out. You know, hallelujah. It was my idea. But think about this. It's in those moments that we have situations that we have to take those thoughts and take them to God in His Word.
That's right.
Think about it. And brother, you know this. If we would just stop before we do something and think about the consequences. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow night. We just keep ourselves from being in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, you're right.
That's just like you never, never do anything in haste in ministry.
That's right.
Nothing. Because it might feel good, but I need to make sure it is good with God.
That's right.
There's a lot of times that, man, God will give me something and I want to do it yesterday. And God say, not right now, son. Pump your brakes. For everything, Ecclesiastes says, there is a season.
Yeah.
Come on. So the thing is, before you make any decision, you need to saturate it with the Word of God. First off, make sure it lines up with the Word of God and not your thoughts.
Amen.
God will never tell you to do anything that you can do by yourself.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all can amen me on that one. Because I ain't got a child say amen. So that's good. But think about it. Because the thing is simply this. If we could fulfill this vision, Pastor Philip, and I could fulfill the vision of City of Refuge by myself, I wouldn't need God.
That's exactly right.
When I look at the budget of the future of our church, lining up with the tithes and offerings of the church,
yeah.
It's God's will, it's God's bill. Hallelujah. That's the only thing I can say. Because, woohoo, woohoo, we won't talk about that. But think about it. We could talk a little bit about what tithing means in Hebrew, but we won't go there because God didn't tell me to go that way. But think about this. Somebody said, please say it, Pastor. Maybe, but not right now. Think about this. We have to take our thoughts and take them to God in His Word. Another way you can help manage your mind, oh, please listen to me. This is big. Is by monitoring what you allow through your eyes and ears.
That's right.
I could talk about this all night.
That's right.
What are you watching on television?
Yeah.
Does it give God glory? What do you listen through with conversations?
Yeah.
Does it give God glory? What do you listen to on the radio? Does it give God glory?
Yeah.
You might say, Pastor, that's crazy. I was at the gym today, because we didn't have school today. And I was at the gym today, and when I got ready to get on the treadmill, I'm not going to lie to you, brother. I was like, I'm going to get some word while I'm working. So I hit Pastor Ron Carpenter and listened to a message. Because even whenever I'm idle, Elder, I still want to hear the Word. I'm going to tell you, I get some of my greatest workouts when I'm listening to the Word of God. Because I'm getting pumped. I'm like, praise God, hallelujah. You know, I'm sitting there lifting my hands and people looking like, what in the world is that brother doing? Well, he just gave me some good Word. Hallelujah. You want to hear it? I'll take it off my headphones, let you hear it too. But the thing is, what do we allow ourselves to listen to?
You're right.
I mean, you might say, Pastor, that's elementary. Can I tell you something? That is serious.
Yeah.
Parents, I'm going to say this tonight. Grandparents, I'm going to say this tonight. You really need to monitor what your children are watching on television.
Yeah.
Oh, come on here. Am I helping you? But the sad thing is, I'm going to say this, Elder, and I might get kicked out when I say this, but if my kids can't sit down and watch it with me, I don't need to be watching.
Amen.
Oh, come on, I'm preaching better than you're shouting.
Amen.
Why should you tell your children to go to bed so you can watch something that they can?
That's right.
My kids are free to watch anything Daddy watches. Because the thing is, I'm not going to let my kids watch something that doesn't give God glory.
Yep. Amen.
Pastor, that's not true. Yes, it is. Because what we put through our ears comes out our mouth.
Yep.
What we put in, what we see goes into our heart.
That's right.
Am I helping y'all? It got quiet up in here. That's maybe right. We need to go to people's houses and start clearing stuff off the DVR. But I'm just sitting there saying, how can we call ourselves holy watching film?
You're right.
I'll amen that. High five, Pastor. That's good right there. Hallelujah. How can that bring holiness, Elder, into our life?
You're right.
If we're watching pornographic stuff on television.
Right. Amen.
If we're watching horrific stuff on television. You might not be amen to me, but you say he's right.
Right.
Glory to God. But the thing is, you might say, well, Pastor, if I did that, I'd never watch television. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. You know, back in the day, did it not call it the one-eyed devil? One person knows that. My granny said, we having a one-eyed devil in my house. I was like, Granny, everybody in here got two. And then she said, we don't have that. Well, I said, Granny, you've got to dumb it down for me, please. What does one-eyed devil mean? You know, that little television people that ain't going to have it in my house. And you know what? She never did. And I hated having to go to her house and stay during the summer. Y'all know? Amen? We used to take the tops off of Nescafe bottled coffee and spin it just so we had a car. Nobody ever did that with me. The elastic off of underwear. It made them slingshots. That's what we did with Granny. Did anybody? Okay, maybe I'm just the only crazy person in here. But I've got ADHD, and I have to have something to do. Man, I can't. Ain't nobody else got that problem. See, I had ADHD till Granny put the BELT up to my BUTT, and it came off of me to be set free. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. If Granny went out to the tree and she did like off of those leaves, you knew what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Granny's going to show you a Holy Ghost dance, and you're going to be the one that's showing her how it happens.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Wouldn't hurt if we take our children back to those trees.
Amen.
Wouldn't hurt if we whipped our children.
Yeah, go ahead.
It worked for us, didn't it? You know what the problem is? And I didn't know I was going here, but it sounds good. We don't want our children not to like us. My kids, I am not their best friend.
Amen.
I am their daddy.
Amen.
Amen.
When parents try to be their children's best friends, they lose that honor.
That's right.
Okay, that didn't cost you nothing. That was free, so we got to go. To catch this. We have to monitor. Our thought life is greatly affected by what we see and hear. What do we see and hear? I'll share it. And I'm not talking politics because I care less about politics. I'm saved for grace.
Amen.
But I don't know Brett Kavanaugh. But if I listen to everybody else, he's a bad guy. Okay? Let's just be real and grow and tell it like it is. I don't know him. But if I listen to people, it might be that my perception of him is wrong. I bet if I met him, he might be a good guy. But I've allowed people to let me hear something I don't need to hear. How many of you know tonight that somebody can tell you something about someone, but then when you really meet that person,
they
are nothing like you were told they were.
Yeah.
But you had a bad perception because of what you heard. Uh-huh.
Amen.
Think about it. But see, the thing is simply this. When people love, I'm helping you manage your mind, okay? People love to talk negative.
Yes, amen.
People love to run down churches.
That's right.
That have never walked through them.
That's right.
I never had walked through the doors of this church one time until revival. All I knew was your pastor. You know what I said? I said, if the church is as good as the pastor, I can't wait to get there.
Amen.
Come on.
That's right.
You advertise Newly Christian Church, and they see it at work. You know what they're going to say? Well, praise God. If he goes to that church, it must be a good church.
That's right. Go ahead.
How are you advertising with your words God?
That's right.
And this church?
You're right.
If you lay out a church, that's not a good advertisement for the church.
Yes, amen.
Because if you're laying out, your neighbor's watching you lay out, man, they must not have nothing going on at the church.
That's right.
Come on now. They see people. I told somebody this. I don't believe nothing what I hear and only half of what I see.
Amen.
Am I helping you? Hallelujah. Because everything I hear isn't good.
That's right.
I don't believe nothing. I'm one of these type of people, Elder. I'm going to see it for myself before I make an assumption. And you know what assuming does. Hallelujah. So catch this. Think about this. Here's the key. Managing our minds starts with managing what we allow to influence our minds.
That's right.
Can I say something tonight? I ain't kicking secular music, but I'm going to challenge you to listen to what it says. I mean, do you honestly know what you get when you play country music backwards? You get your wife back, you get your dog back, you get your house back. Think about what I'm saying, your truck back. There you go. Hallelujah. When you play it backwards.
This is true.
There was one time I heard this, and your dad may have shared this with you, but they played a Kiss song backwards. And the message was, I love to smoke marijuana. I love to smoke marijuana. And kids were listening to it in the 70s. And shall we say, some of y'all were there. You know what happened in the 70s. Hallelujah. Puff, puff, pass. Hallelujah. Puff, puff, pass. Come on now. Here's the key. It's not, okay, here's the key. It is not to attempt to monitor in the moment, but setting up boundaries or standards in your own life about what you will watch, listen, or expose yourself to. Set up boundaries.
You're right.
Come on now. How many of you got boundaries? Go ahead and raise your hand, but how many of you got boundaries in your life? If you're a former alcoholic, one of your boundaries is, I don't get around those friends that still drink.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. If it's this one, if it's, hey, my boundary is this.
That's right.
I can't be around people that talk negative.
Amen.
Can you tell you something? Your circle will be very small.
Yeah.
If you'd stop allowing negative people to speak in your life.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm like Jack on Meet the Parents, glory to God. I have a very small circle. And very few people are going to speak into my life.
That's right.
You know why? Because I don't have time for negativity.
Yeah.
There's a lost and dying world out there that needs Christ.
Amen.
And I don't have time to be caught in the gossip scene.
Yes.
And you might say, well, Pastor, I have a problem with my mouth. Well, glory to God, set boundaries.
Yeah.
Sometimes it wouldn't hurt people to get locked jaw for about a month. Hallelujah. You know why? Then you wouldn't have to hear the negativity.
Amen.
You can't be a positive person hanging around negative people.
That's right.
So catch this. Here we go. I've almost got this thing. Number three is big, and I need only 5 to 7 minutes. And this is huge. Are you ready? Magnify the consequences. Yeah. Come on. Magnify the consequences in a situation. I'll get you home before Monday Night Raw. But think about this. See, right there, I done messed y'all up. Some people saying, you're going to watch it after the preacher done said it? Huh? Watch it now. Think about this. And then you just mute it. Then when the girls wrestle, you don't watch it. Then when the guys wrestle, your wife gets 5 minutes of television. Come on now. Yeah, let's just be real on the ground and tell it like it is. But think about this. Magnify the consequences. I wish more people was here to hear this. It is so easy to romanticize about things and think that the grass is always greener on the other side and choose an easier option. Okay. Got to tell you something I learned from my daddy a long time ago. The grass might be greener on the other side, but it's still got to be mowed. Come on. I think I'm going to leave my wife for another one. What makes you think that is going to be any better than what you got now? Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's still a woman?
That's right.
Oh, man, but she looks good on the outside. Huh. Yeah. So does sometimes houses.
That's right.
Well, that's a beautiful house. Get inside and the cockroaches ride around the dune buggies. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Boy, it looked good on the outside, but it's filthy on the inside.
You're right. Go ahead. Amen.
See, the problem is we have a sight problem. We see things, we see beauty on the outside.
That's right.
We look for people that are beautiful.
Yeah.
But God never made nothing ugly.
That's right.
I mean, you know, he got close with me, but he never makes nothing ugly. He said it's beautiful in his sight, didn't he, brother?
Yeah.
He said that it was good.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Everything that he did, it was good.
That's right. Amen.
So catch this. Magnify the consequences. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm trying to help everybody in here. There is no Christian woman that wants to be married to an alcoholic man.
Amen.
They don't. You know, when my wife told me she sees me the most attractive is when I'm doing what God's called me to do.
Amen.
Because she knows it makes me happy.
Yeah.
And the thing is simply this. When we look on the outward, like some of you tonight probably didn't know that I lived in a house that you could seriously look through the floor. We didn't even have heat, y'all.
Yeah.
We had to use plugged up heaters in this home. My power bill was always $600 a month because I couldn't afford to get the pipes fixed.
Yeah.
We had one vehicle and I was driving it to work. But the thing is, before you start looking on the outward of a person, like for example, if you see someone walk through that door, glory to God, that's an alcoholic, don't look on the outward.
That's right.
Because I think the Word of God said this, didn't it? That God don't look on the outward. God looks on the heart.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Some of us, especially me, is glad he don't look on the outward. Because he might say, boy, I made a mistake.
Boy.
But he sees the heart of the person.
That's right.
It don't matter what something looks on the outside. I'm going to tell you something. Isn't it amazing, Elder, that women and men will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get nips and tucks and face, you know, like this and looking like a Chinese person, American. And the thing is, they spend all that money trying to look good on the outside and they're corrupt on the inside.
You're right. Go ahead.
Can I tell y'all something? How many of you know this to be the truth? You may have a magnificent outside of this church. But what does it look like on the inside?
Yes.
And I'm not talking about the pews. I'm not talking about the baptistry. I'm not talking about the equipment or the microphones. I'm talking about what does this church look like?
Yes.
On the inside.
Amen.
What's the heart of this church?
Yes.
What pounds inside this church? What do you want to see fulfilled in this church?
Amen.
Am I helping you tonight? Amen. Think about it. Think about this. I want to share this with you. If you ever think about doing something in your life and it could possibly... Okay, excuse me. Every day of your life, I want you to remember this. If you ever think about doing something in your life that could possibly hurt your family, and this is big. I don't even have to read the notes to share this because I looked at it about 15 times a day. Imagine sitting down with your children and grandchildren and having to tell them what you're getting ready to do. What does that mean, Pastor? Before I get ready to make a decision in my life that could destroy my family?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or my ministry? Or my church? Think about having to sit down with your family and tell them why I'm leaving your mama.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why I can't lay down the bottle.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why I can't lay down the drugs.
You're right.
I'm getting ready to leave your mama for another woman. Could you imagine doing that? Imagine me, I'll use me as an example. Imagine me having to sit down with my wife and my kids and tell them, I'm getting ready to leave your mama for another woman. And it's not, there's a good chance daddy ain't coming back. I'll use that as an example. So the next time I think about doing something stupid, I need to sit down and think about having to tell my family.
That's right.
Why there's stuff in the refrigerator that shouldn't be in the refrigerator?
Go ahead.
Why Daddy's got those DVDs hidden so nobody can see them?
You're right.
Am I helping you tonight? You're magnify right. The consequence. Before you do anything, imagine if y'all ain't this type of people because y'all good people. But imagine sit down with your family and say, I'm getting ready to destroy the church.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to bring up a false accusation against the pastor.
Go ahead.
And I'm going to destroy it Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Some people's crazy enough to do that.
Yeah.
Think of how they can destroy a church.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. Satan never destroys the church from the outside.
That's right.
Amen. He always destroys it from the inside.
Yeah. You're right.
No church has ever been destroyed from the outside.
That's right.
It was always somebody or something on the inside.
That's
I only
right.
got three more things we're done. We must also consider the consequences. What if, instead of romancing the thoughts of if only? I know this sounds crazy, but can I share a thought from myself? I've never been addicted to anything except Diet Mountain Dew. And I'm 197 days clean. Hallelujah. If you don't believe me, people went to eat with me last night, I drank water. But the thing is simply this. I treasure my ministry. And I treasure my anointing.
Amen.
But more importantly, I treasure my relationship with God and my wife and my children and my grandson. Anytime the enemy tries to tempt me, and please listen, with anything, I think about what if I stumble into it. Did you know I can make one mistake and destroy 28 years of ministry?
Yeah. You're right.
I can make one mistake and destroy 24 years of pastoring.
Yeah.
I have boundaries, Elder. That's why my phone is locked. That my pastor knows all my codes. My pastor knows my emails.
Yeah.
My wife knows my code to my phone. You might say, well, Pastor, what do you say? I'm setting boundaries.
Yeah.
Because you know the thing is simply this. It's easy to get access to nastiness and filth today.
You're right. Go ahead.
And you know what? The Bible says if you look upon a woman as the lust upon a woman, you don't commit adultery in your heart.
Yeah. Right.
My wife gets upset with me. She said this coming up the road. She said, did you see those pants Nicole was wearing last night? Nope, sure didn't. She said, those are the kind of pants I want you to have. I'm like, what were they? She said, they were mustard colored. I was like, what? She said, I know you didn't look. You know why? Because that's a woman.
Yep, amen.
I mean, you might say that's stupid, okay? But that's my boundaries, Elder. I don't want to destroy what it's taken years for me to get. I don't want to destroy the knowledge, brother, and the wisdom that God has given me.
Right.
Because the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
That's
and I don't want to lose the anointing. And it's most importantly, Elder, I don't want to lose the respect that people give me over pleasurable stuff.
Amen.
If it means that I don't have to watch television, so be it. If it means that I don't want to watch movies, so be it. I just want to be in the will of God.
Yes, amen.
Because I magnify the consequence. Amen. Magnifying the truth about how your life can be affected in the long run will help you to fuse false assumptions of fleshly gains in the short run from bad decisions. One of the things, and I'm just going to go through because I know some people's ready to go. One of the things I have personally have done in my own life, and I've done to, oh, here, I got to hit this one. How many of you got cell phones in here? Probably everybody. You go to my cell phone, I have pictures of everybody in my album that I would hurt if I sinned. You're even in it.
I don't even know why.
Yeah, baby, I love it. Anyway, but the thing is simply this. I have pictures of everybody in my church.
Yeah.
First off, my first picture is my beautiful wife. Then my daughters. Then my grandson. Then my parents. Then my sisters. Then my brother. My brother-in-law. All the way down. And the reason you're in is because I covered you. And I know if I fall, it's going to hurt you.
Yes.
So the thing is, anytime any enemy comes against me, I pull up my collage, brother. And I'm like, these people are worth me living holy.
Yes, amen.
These people, y'all guys' names are in my Bible because you are worth me living holy.
Yes, amen.
Come on, y'all are somebody worth dying for.
Amen.
So catch this. Like I said, one of the things I personally have done in my life is put together pictures on my cell phone of all the people I would hurt and let down if I made a mistake. I done told you who was on it. I want to magnify the consequences in a way that keeps me focused on the standards God has called me to.
Yes.
Does the Bible not say, where much is given, much is required? And can I tell you something tonight? And I'm going to help him. I'm going to help Pastor. There's things that y'all can do that we can't.
That's right.
There's things that y'all can do that this young man can't, that young man can't. You know why? Because we're held to a
higher
standard.
Yeah. Amen.
But my question is, if y'all hold us to that kind of standard, why can't we hold y'all to God's?
That's right.
Come on. Amen, preacher. Think about it. And I'm done with this. Let me ask you a question as we close this. What consequences, come on, Brother Phil, Pastor Phil. What consequences can you magnify in your own life? What are those things that you could never imagine having to do or go through if you made a major mistake? Magnify them. Keep them in front of you. And don't forget how much you have to lose.
That's right. Amen.
You might say, well, Pastor, if you was to fail God, I'd still love you, but you wouldn't respect me.
That's right. Go ahead.
Amen.
Amen.
I love everybody that's fallen from grace, but they made a mistake.
That's right.
Think about it. We have to understand the enemy cannot control our heart, but he can destroy our mind.
That's right.
How many of you heard this? Older folks told you this. If you give Satan an inch, he'll take a mile.
Okay.
Uh-huh. How many of you know that to be true?
Yeah.
You miss... Okay, I always... Make sure everybody hears this. If you miss one service, it's easier to miss two. You miss two, it's easier to miss four. You miss four, it's easier to miss eight. You miss eight, it's easier to get 16. To the point it don't even bother you if you miss church anymore. But all it takes is that one service. How many of you know to be enticed by the enemy, all it takes is that one look, that one taste. The five senses that God has given you, I'm trying to stop. The five senses that God has given you are the five senses that the enemy will destroy
That's
you with
exactly
if you
right.
allow it.
You're right.
How can my feet, how can my toes, you have to walk to the problem, don't you?
Yeah.
Sometimes people have to taste, smell.
Yeah.
But tonight, as everybody stands, I pray you got something out of this. I get something out of it. I'm the one that God gave the message to. I preached to myself just as much as I preached to y'all. I said, whoa, boy, you're talking to yourself right there. I even have to go home and watch my television to see what I need to get rid of. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He without sin among you cast the first stone.
Amen.
But this morning, boy, you got to be saying that all the time. This evening, this morning somewhere, I promise you. As every head's bowed, I'm going to ask the elder, the deacons, to come up and stand with me. As every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I wouldn't preach these messages and teach these messages to you if I didn't love you. Because I'm going to stand before God one day for every message I've ever preached. But tonight, as everybody's head's bowed and every eye is closed, let's be real. How many of you tonight can honestly say, tonight might be one of those nights that you have to go home and do a spiritual house cleaning? There's some things that you need to, instead of doing a spring cleaning, since fall was Saturday, why don't we go home and do a fall cleaning?
Amen.
Out with the old, in with the new. What do I need to do in my life to get my life to God's standards? We got one more standard to talk about tomorrow night. And then Wednesday night, we're going to see what God can do with people that live according to God's standards. But as every head's bowed and every eye is closed, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand so I can see your hand and say, oh my goodness, I knew. But I want you to raise your hand. If you're here tonight and you can honestly say, hey, Pastor Jonathan, I've not always lived since I've been a Christian according to God's standards. There are some things, God bless those hands, there are some things that I allow myself to do that I know that is wrong, but I do them anyway, and then I hate whenever I do them. I wish I would stop. I wish I would stop. God bless those. Honesty. There ain't nothing wrong at all with being honest about where we fall short. Because the Bible said all men have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But tonight, if you're here and you want us, and you want us to pray with you about anything, I'm going to ask you to come. About anything. No matter what it is. Anything. The altar's open. Go ahead. Anything. For just a moment. If there's something you want us to pray with you for, that's what this altar's for.